The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time for our Friday Forum, and I'm joined in studio this week by Ivana Bacik, leader of the Labour Party, spokesperson on environment and climate, children, equality, disability, integration and youth, and of course TD for Dublin-based South, Kathleen Funchin, Sinn Féin spokesperson on children and youth affairs, chair of the Oireachtas Committee on Children and Youth Affairs, and TD for Carlow Kilkenny, and Senator Shane Castles, based in Meath West, but spokesperson on media, arts, sport, tourism and the Gaeltacht, and also, as it happens, the father of three young children. And that's important because one of the things we're going to talk about is the News Talk survey this week, which told us an awful lot about the state of childcare in the country, the costs of it, the availability of it, and how it inhibits perhaps family size and inhibits careers. So we'll go to you, Shane, first of all. You are that soldier.
Absolutely. Good morning, Pat. And I've been, you know, following your series all week and the tales of people, and absolutely, we've got our kids now in primary school, but I remember when our kids were in childcare, it was a huge cost each month. I remember we would have registered them for childcare places literally even before they were born to ensure that they had them. And it was a big cost. It was a cost more than our mortgage every single month. And at the time, you think, God, how can you get through this? But you do. But that's something that shouldn't be the case. That we're only saying that you get through, and you're then curtailing your own quality of life to ensure that you can provide childcare facilities for your children. That shouldn't be the case. And so it is very much the case that you're trying to now come up with a series of schemes that's going to look at reducing costs for parents, but also stabilising the sector. I know that a huge amount of the debate is obviously going to be focused on the pressure on parents, A, securing a place, and B, getting a place that can be affordable. Mm. But it's a sector that is in danger of collapsing as well, unless real serious interventions are made.
Okay, we'll talk to you in a moment about what those serious interventions might be. Ivana Bacik, the problem is one that's been around for a long time, and it's only getting worse.
It is getting worse. And, you know, I was that soldier too. My kids are a bit older now, but certainly the cost of childcare is extortionate. We have extremely high costs of childcare, well above the European average. The European average is only about a third of what parents pay here. So parents are clearly being failed. Providers are being failed because we're seeing providers leaving. I've seen creches closing in my own constituency. So there's a real lack of availability of places. Staff in the sector aren't being paid a living wage. And the Sip Too Big Start campaign has really highlighted that. Many being paid below the living wage, many looking to leave the sector as a result. So we're failing everyone, but most of all we're failing children who are not getting that equal early years start they require. So we in Labour have called for a Donna O'Malley moment, for a radical, revolutionary change in childcare provision, to say that instead of seeing it as something that is piecemeal, that is private system, that is high cost to parents, that the state should step in and take responsibility and guarantee each child a preschool place, in the same way that Donna O'Malley as Education Minister over 50 years ago guaranteed each child a free secondary place.
You may not recall this, but the story was he didn't tell his Taoiseach at the time. He just went ahead and announced it.
But it's that sort of radical vision that's needed. I should say, as I'm chair of the Oireachtas Committee on Gender Equality, and our brief is to see the implementation of the recommendations of the Citizens' Assembly on gender equality. And key to those recommendations were a radical change in care provision. They have put to the government that we need to see over the next decade a move to a publicly funded, accessible and regulated model of quality, affordable early years education and childcare. Yeah. And that's what we need, I believe. And I should say also, Pat, the National Women's Council did a super conference on this yesterday. Your programmes this week have really shone a spotlight on this. Mm. But we need to galvanise on this issue.
We often use the term the cost of childcare, and that's the cost to the parent of childcare. But the cost of providing the childcare is one thing. What we are trying to do, I suppose, as a nation, should be to bring down the price of childcare to the end user.
But also to see it as an investment in our children's future and an investment in enabling more women to play an equal role in society.
Kathleen?
Too.
Yeah, I'm delighted actually to get the chance to talk about this topic, because we have been, I suppose, highlighting this, and I think that there's three different sections to it. Obviously, there's the cost or the price, as you call it, for the parents who really are, and there's families actually deciding maybe to only have one child, or even I know people in my own life who will be saying, okay, well, this child will be starting primary school, and then maybe we'll have a second child. So, like,
yeah, 61% of those surveyed indicated that it did have an implication for projected family size. 67% referring back to Ivana's remarks,
major
impact on career.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, these are big life decisions that will change.
Yeah.
The
major
outcome.
Major,
particularly women's careers.
And then we have a situation where it's very frustrating, I know, at times for both providers and workers when they hear this debate, because they're thinking, well, like, they're not on the big bucks, you know, particularly those working in the sector. So we actually have a policy that we're going to be launching hopefully in the next 2 weeks in relation to this sector. And it's a lot of what we've been talking about over our last number of pre-budgets. So to reduce childcare costs by 1/3 in the first year and then by 2/3. And it would cost an additional 270 million investment to do that. And then there has been, obviously, there's the JLC talks, which are in relation to the wages at the moment. And I think we need to see that progress. But we need to really see proper decent wage scales, because I think what's unique, we often talk about crises in general. We know, for example, in health and in lots of various sectors of society at the moment, housing, there is really huge issues. I think with the childcare earlier sector, there is still people who really want to stay working in that sector, but are just, they can't afford it themselves. For example, if they have to sign on for social welfare over summer, it's very difficult for them to stay in it. And as we know, parents then are, you know,
yeah. I mean, the irony is that if you were a childcare worker,
yeah,
and then you become pregnant and you have a child, that the wages that you are being paid would not pay for your child being in crèche,
exactly,
which is
so
kind of crazy.
Nobody is being served by it at the moment.
So, you know, as one of the government parties, what's to be done, Shane? And why not do it earlier? We're coming towards an election, so we will get adjustments in the next budget and perhaps the budget beyond that. But it's very late in the day.
No, so Pat, there was a major scheme announced just at Christmas of this year, and that is going to be taking, it has already taken effect, it's going to have a real impact in September of this year. So you're talking about how do we ensure that we reduce costs for both the user and for the provider. And that is what that plan is going to do this year. So in September of this year, prices are going to be frozen for parents from from childcare costs from September of last year. Providers are going to be provided with a new core funding strategy that is going to make them sustainable. And back to my opening point, there's a lot of providers in this country and they're on the brink edge. But this new funding model is going to ensure their sustainability. And that goes back to the point in terms of the funding being provided to pay the staff within the sector. We could build a plethora of new childcare centres tomorrow morning and have the physical buildings there, but not have the staff to staff them. So it's incumbent to make sure with this new model that they get paid, but equally so that the funding is put in place for the centres so that childcare prices for parents are frozen at September 21 prices.
There's a fundamental thing here, and I think this texter actually gets it. The problem of childcare is that it's still based on the notion that one person, i.e. normally the woman, stays at home taking care of the children. It's a totally outdated concept. In the Nordics, which we constantly quote, they've accepted that men and women go out to work.
Yeah.
And that they fund it accordingly. So,
and that every child is guaranteed a place. I mean, this is also crucial because it's not just about affordability, it's about access and availability of places. And I know your survey showed that too, Pat. And I know there have been some very positive moves by government, but we're lacking that radical vision. We heard last week on our Gender Equality Committee from stakeholders, from those representing staff and providers in early years education and care. And their concern is that fees are still going to be pegged at a very high level. It's welcome that fees will be frozen, but it's still at a level that is three times the European average.
So how do you bring that down,
Ivana?
The key thing here is, so in this new funding model, they're good. Okay.
Yeah, we put forward an equal early years model through the Labour Party, a proposal to bring in a new scheme relying instead on a public model of childcare. That vision that we see also in the Citizens
Assembly.
Well, we're proposing it on an incremental basis, that the first stage, the pilot stage, would cost €60 million, that it would cater to 6,000 children, 2% of under fours on a means-tested basis, as a starting point to roll
those
it out.
Those 200 million actually announced just for additional.
And that's
for,
very
just,
welcome.
You're
it's
talking about a start. I need to make this point. You're talking about a relatively relatively small amount of money compared to what actually was put in this year, which was 200 million extra to bring us up to 750 million in terms of bringing down costs for providers so they can be passed on to the parents. For the first time ever, there's going to be a special fund put in place for the cost of utilities for running each childcare centre and rent. That's a first time new introduction so they can bring down the cost of the childcare providers providing their service.
I think in fairness, for a lot of years, the whole area of childcare in early years was really, it was underinvested and it was taken for granted. And probably one of the positives coming out of COVID was it really highlighted how much we need this service. So what needs to happen, and any investment I always welcome in this sector, I will say that any investment. Yeah. However, we do need more investment. And what we're proposing, the 270 million, it does take the pressure off the services so that they can actually reduce fees. You know, I mean, freezing fees, unfortunately for a lot of people, it's still not going to change their circumstances. They're still going to be having those conversations about how many children can
we're
they
having an argument though about money, as if we're like Kathleen's after.
I don't think we're actually having an argument, absolutely not at all.
But in terms of you, Kathleen, saying there's an additional 200 million in your plan, 221 million euro extra actually went in. That's pounds, shillings, and pence of real money additional went in this year.
And nobody's saying that's not welcome, but
and more was going to be put in this budget to get us to a billion euro.
I ask you all to step back from this a little bit.
Okay.
If I send my child to primary school, my child's teacher is paid for by the state. If I send my child to secondary school, be it private or public, that teacher's wages are paid by the state. What is wrong with the system whereby at the very earliest levels, the teachers are paid by the state? Why not?
That's exactly what we must move to. And Pat, may I say this on the funding issue? And again, I think the Citizens' Assembly has given us such clarity of vision on this. They say we must move to this publicly funded, accessible model. And they point out, though, that it will take time. And we've all welcomed the additional funding, but we need to see the radical vision to tell us where we're going with this. The Citizens' Assembly say over the next decade, we must increase the state share of GDP spent on childcare. This is more real than the sort of banding around figures. Currently, we're only spending 0.37% of GDP on childcare. The UNICEF target is at least 1%. So it's a triple increase, if you like. And that, I think, tells us the level of, I suppose, priority or focus that's been placed on childcare. There's just been, as Kathleen has said, a neglect of childcare, an assumption that women, the majority of carers being women, 98% of full-time carers in Ireland are women.
I certainly wouldn't accept it's been a neglected childcare because it's something I've been deeply invested in over the last 20 years, and it's come from nothing.
Shane, this is not a party political point. It's been neglected over many decades since the foundation of the state because we have relied on this voluntarist model where it was expected that women on an unpaid basis would carry out the bulk of caring, not just for children, but also for older persons.
Can I just make a point as well, Pat, in relation to, I think it's really important that we do try and come to terms with this crisis now because we actually do have people that want to stay in this sector working there, and we don't want to lose their qualifications and their skills. Mm. And what's going to happen is if we leave this sort of on the back burner for another 2 or 3 years, you will see people leaving. It's already happening.
One of my listeners has thrown a grenade, which I'm going to pass on to you. The elephant in the room is in the incredibly generous children's allowances or child benefit. Divert all of this to childcare and we'll have the best in Europe. But no country has both. It's got to be one or the other. That's from Lar.
I think it's important, again, we go back to...
But it would be politically suicidal to actually advocate this. But does it make sense that all this money is going sometimes into savings accounts for the third level education or whatever it's used for?
Pat, it's not just a funding issue. It's also, I go back to the point that we could physically build a whole raft of new childcare centres tomorrow morning, but the issue then becomes down to staffing. So one of the key components of the new fund is making sure we pay staff that the wage that they deserve to retain staff so that the system does not collapse and we can provide the places that your listeners were saying this week that they can't access. On the debate about whether public or private, the reality is that since the very early 90s, when the sector was kind of just in a very embryonic stage and coming into force in a real professional manner, it was set up on a private basis. So your entire network across the country now is private childcare centres. And so you can't go in just tomorrow morning and say we're going to flip that on its head and make it a public model. What you can do is ensure that the proper funding is in place, the regulations are in place to make sure that children are able to get a place and that place is affordable. This year, for the first time ever, prices are going to be capped and frozen at 2021 and gradually brought down, because the subventions to the centre is going to pay their running costs, their rent, their utilities, their staff costs, and actually through that manner, that's how you bring down costs to parents.
None of us are saying this happens overnight, but what we need to see, and changes are, the changes, the positive changes on funding, the positive changes around pay to staff are very welcome, and we've all said that. But what we're lacking is that vision, that setting out of that radical vision. Can I just finish, Shane? To say this is where we're going with this. We want to get to a point where we're seeing childcare as an investment, where our expenditure on childcare is at the European average, where we're seeing parents pay fees that are less, that are one third of what they're currently paying. I have friends in Berlin; their childcare fees are, you know, it's almost embarrassing to say, you know, they're below €50 a week per child in a community-based childcare model, but it's state-supported. That's where we need to get to, publicly funded and with a guaranteed right for every child. Well, it's still largely private provider. The ECHI scheme was very welcome too. Can I just finish?
Yes,
we need to move to that new vision of childcare, where we're seeing it as a right of every child to access an early years education.
And can I ask you, Ivana, on that basis, on the basis that we are primarily operating on a private childcare system across the country, would Labour be advocating then the taking over of all those centres? Because remember, for the first time ever this September, those centres are going to have to open their books to the government so that they can see their operating costs, so they can sign up to this contract, 93% of which the providers in this country have done. But they also want to operate their private model because they're a business. Are you saying then that you would take them over and actually eliminate their capacity to make private funds to do so?
No, I'm not talking about taking anyone over. The model of secondary
but
or private.
You can't have both.
No, excuse me. I've used the model of the schooling system. Schools are run locally.
Schools are run locally, and that's
where we need to stay. In the decentralised model, but state supported.
That we have in our policy that we're hoping to launch, as I said, about the next 2 weeks, the end of this month, is that you obviously increase investment, but that you would have a contract system then, that if you're increasing investment in the sector, that people obviously will reduce down their fees. So you don't need to be taking over buildings or anything like that. We all know it's about increased investment, and it's how you actually manage that and so that it's done clever. Because a lot of providers will tell you as well that there's some really crazy rules, particularly around what they call sessional places for children, where centres are being penalised if kids are being collected early.
Okay, I want to read some of the comments. My wife and most of her friends have gone part-time by choice after having kids. You couldn't drag them back to full-time work. Their words, not mine. That's from Barry in Dublin. My daughter moved to Germany with her two boys under three to be able to afford childcare in order to go to college. It would be $150 a month for a full-time place as a regular rate, but because she's a student, she gets free places for both children and they get €200 child benefit for each child.
I mean, the contrast, less than $50 a week compared to $250 a week on average here in Dublin for childcare. It is a dramatic change in perspective that's needed. And I think that's the point. But it's not about taking anything over. It's about providing more state support and a change of focus and a change of vision to see childcare as a right for children and as a means of ensuring more equality in society. And again, the Citizens Assembly, you know, an absolutely impartial group of citizens who came together in 2021, they have set out this very clear vision. And our committee is working very hard to try and see that.
If you want to get people to do this work, this texter says, I'm an early years practitioner, honours degree, I'm on €13 an hour.
No, that's the thing though, Pat. And that's what I'm saying, that if we don't actually come to grips with this and look at the wage scale and having a proper wage scale and people having an increment like that's taken for granted in so many jobs, we will have, we talk about a crisis now, it's going to get so much worse because people will leave this sector. And there are so many really dedicated, highly qualified people. Yeah. We want to keep them here. So let's have the wage scale.
Okay, but the question which we raised earlier, and it works with private schools who get teacher funding in spite of the fact that they're private and parents pay in addition fees. Why wouldn't that work with this model?
But the first step, Pat,
the teachers are all paid properly.
100% could work, and we do need to look at moving towards that.
So the very first step, and there is going to be a contract with the providers, and we're talking about contracts here, the 93% of the childcare providers in this country are signing up to a contract starting this September that's going to ensure that the gap between what those providers and their staff, the staff who are on a low wage, and the gap is going to be met by a transition fund by the government. There couldn't be, there's no issue here with money in terms of making sure we solve this problem. Everyone is accepted in this room it's not going to be solved overnight, but what is going to happen is that that radical reform, which, remember, the report was brought back by an independent group before Christmas, not the government. They're implementing this independent report to ensure staff get paid, prices are frozen for parents, and places are provided.
Ivana, does the Labour Party have any objection to private practitioners having their teachers, their practitioners funded entirely by the state?
Well, first of all, we very much welcomed the core funding model that that Minister Roderick O'Gorman announced. And again, as I say, at the Gender Equality Committee last week, we heard some very positive support for that from stakeholders. But what everyone wants to see is where we're going with it and where and what the outcome will be. And for us in Labour, we want to set out that vision. It's not about taking over current providers. Absolutely not. It's about
It's a publicly funded model,
but it enables people, it enables community providers, local providers still to continue to providing the early years education and care they're currently doing, but supporting them in doing so to ensure, again, a child-centred approach, that every child will get a place. I know plenty of providers who are really struggling currently with lower levels of state support and who would and who wish to pay staff more, and plenty of staff who, as we've heard, are looking to leave the sector because they're paid
so little. I was just going to make that point in relation to not just staff leaving, but we have seen some providers close. And I think, you know, if we did have increased investment, and like as it's been said, people welcome the investment by the government, but it does need to go further. You won't have as many facilities closing, and that comes back to the whole capacity, which we haven't
A final comment from Mel. There are plenty of qualified people coming out of the colleges with the degrees every year. Don't use that as an excuse. Just get on with it. The state has to take over. Why do we resist the obvious? It's working in other countries. Why not just get on with it, says Mel. Look, I intended to talk about other matters with you. No time. Childcare took over. But my thanks to Ivana Bacik, leader of the Labour Party, Sinn Féin's Kathleen Funchin, and Senator Shane Castles of Fianna Fáil. Thank you all very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.